Damn it, I'm hearing echo.
It's echo. Not me, dude.
Echo.
It is so not me.
I think it is.
No way.
Now it's gone.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 21 for Wednesday, the 28th of January, 2015. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and with me as always is my friend Kent. How you doing, Kent?
I'm good, man. It's been a good week. How are you?
I'm tired. Yeah. One of us is always just far too tired for this whole thing.
Yeah, that's crazy. Happen when we have late night recordings.
Because your technical difficulties. Yeah.
No. My household chaos. Your technical difficulties.
I don't know why you got to be all particular about it, dude. Like,
I don't know. I think we trade that. I think sometimes you have a chaotic household and I have technical difficulties. We never seem to sync up. It's weird. There's a joke in there right. Somewhere, but yeah. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Damn it, you preempted me.
Like, when is that joke going to get old? I don't know. Maybe it is, but it's certainly not to me. I thoroughly enjoy it every time, whether or not I'm the one saying it. So, all right, man. So last week we talked about you going in for your test. For Goku or something to that effect.
Yep.
How'd that go?
It went well. I am indeed a Goku now. Oh. I'm waiting for Sensei to teach me how to go Super Saiyan, but I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, I've never watched any Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z or any of that, but I'm familiar enough with it to get the pop culture references and all that kind of crap.
Gotcha.
It's really cool. It's fifth Ku. That means I'm five promotions away from black belt. So I'm about halfway there.
Yeah.
It's really cool. The test was, it's kind of long, kind of difficult, but not overly horrible. I did a lot of preparation. I was ready for it. And I think it showed. I think since they saw that, he put a belt on me. So
very good.
I guess I was ready.
Very cool. What else did you do this week?
My youngest son, Isaac, had his birthday. Actually, yesterday was his birthday, Tuesday. We celebrated it this past weekend. What he wanted to do was go roller skating. Okay. I'd been past the... It's called Roller Arena here in Alamogordo. I'd been past it before, but I thought it was shut down. I didn't even know the place was active. But Isaac had gone there for a school trip before. And he's like, no, they're open. I promise. Okay, let's go. Last time I'd been skating was... Yeah. I can't even tell you. I think I was at my first duty station the last time I skated in any fashion, and that was ice skating.
Wow.
I went one time when I was at Eglin. Prior to that, probably the last time I did that was the last time I played roller hockey in my neighborhood while I was in high school.
Wow. So I have to ask, though, I mean, the big question now is, did you go traditional or inline?
Inline. Definitely inline.
There we go. Yes.
Yeah. I was never good at the regular four-wheel roller skate. You know what I'm talking about. The standard roller skate. Never good at that. But when rollerblades came out, what were we, eighth grade or something like that when that happened?
I don't know. I was in California for a little while.
I tried them and they. Yeah. Yeah. So probably like seventh, eighth grade, something like that. They came out. I tried them and it worked for me. And then I even started playing like pickup games of roller hockey in the neighborhood. And I got pretty decent at it. It took me about 5 minutes for it to come back. Like the saying, it's like riding a bike. Pretty much was, man. I had more fun by far than Isaac did skating. It was pretty awesome. It was fun. Might have to do that more often.
Yeah. And okay, that's pretty cool. I've actually gone a few times and I thoroughly enjoy it. My aging body doesn't prefer to do it anymore, but I thoroughly enjoy it as well. So how'd you finish your weekend?
Yeah, well, Sunday, you know, we got the WWE Network, you know, starting to get back into pro wrestling or whatever. The Royal Rumble was Sunday, and Isaac really wanted to watch that, so I wanted to also. But he, you know, it was his birthday weekend. It was kind of what Isaac says goes, and he wanted to watch the Royal Rumble. So I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. So that's what we did. We watched that. So it was fun.
And as a spoiler alert, who won?
I forget.
So memorable. Wow.
Yeah. No, it wasn't one of the better, you know, more memorable shows, but it was a lot of fun. It was the guy that won was I want to say it was Roman Reigns. It was one of the old members of SHIELD, which is kind of a newer thing. You probably never even heard of them. It's kind of, I'm very just roughly fringe familiar with the group, but
wow.
All yeah, right. Anyway, I hope I didn't get that wrong, because everybody's going to be like, no, you suck, you idiot. It wasn't that guy.
So so WWE was here at the Abilene Civic Center last weekend. Mm-hmm. This weekend, no such luck on anything fun like that to do. So instead, my wife and I went on a date to go see Rodney Carrington.
Awesome.
Yes, yes. It was a good show. It was about a 2-hour show. Very funny guy. He actually did more stand up than music, which I thought that was a bit of a twist. I figured he would do more music than stand up. Either way, had a raving good time. My wife was probably the only dark skinned person in the building other than the opening comedian. There were several jokes to that matter in his set. Rodney, however, was very funny. He actually got emotional about twice on stage. Recently divorced. He's actually from not far from here, Longview, Texas. And it was a really good time. My wife didn't know what to expect going into it, and she thoroughly enjoyed herself. We both almost peed ourselves, and we got the hell out of there. So
that's awesome, man.
And that's what I did on Saturday. Well, no, that was Friday night. That was Friday night.
I saw Rodney once in Vegas when I lived there years ago. Hmm. Good time. He's definitely a funny guy. Good show. We're seeing.
Yeah, it cost us, I think the tickets, it was general admission. We got the balcony seats because I didn't buy the tickets in time, but it cost us like $80, which is not bad for a show like that. You know, 2 hours of laughing your butt off. So we enjoyed it. Other than that, on Sunday, I acquired, through some special deals, I acquired the Mad Max trilogy to watch with my son. Although we have not watched it, I'm really looking forward to that.
Very cool. Now, is that in preparation for seeing the new movie when it comes out?
No, the new movie being spoken about on Current Geek a few weeks ago is what actually brought it up. And I was like, that's kind of a rite of passage. I mean, how can I have a boy grow up in my household and not have seen the Mad Max movies? So,
yeah, I think the first one is playing on Netflix right now.
The first two are actually playing on Netflix. The third one, Thunderdome, is the one that I had to go out and find.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. Speaking of podcasts, I turned on a new podcast this week. My geeky thing of the week would be I found and listened to the first several episodes of The Podcast Method. It's a 5x5 show. I can't remember the host's name to save my life, and I could probably look it up right now, but I don't think it really matters that much. Podcast Method on 5x5 Networks. It's a good show.
We're in the pipe.
Yeah.
5x5. Aliens reference.
There you go. listen to the first few episodes. It's only like 6 or 7 episodes in right now, and it's all about how to podcast, and I've gotten some good advice from it, and I think I'm going to pick it up and put it in my regular rotation. So
sweet. Yeah, you told me about that, and I downloaded the episodes but haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, I've only listened to, well, as I was telling you in the pre-show, I listened to parts of it and kind of skipped around the parts that, you know, when people would ask a question that either doesn't apply to us yet or is an obstacle we've already gotten around and I don't want to complicate our lives with. Right. Just skip past that and get to more of the meat and potatoes that, you know, from my plate. And really good stuff, knowledgeable and it's good stuff. You should look it up. If you're interested in creating a podcast or just how they work and the difficulties and the technology behind it, the podcast method is a good place to start. Although my one critique on it is that he talks about starting mixers and starting microphones and things like that. And his starting mixer, the one that he recommends you start out with, is almost $500, which is a little bit more than I'm thinking most garage podcasters can afford, because I know it's more than we could afford. So, that's my one complaint about it. He's got a little higher budget than I think the average listener does, but I mean, you know, that's just aims at his success, I guess. So,
well, it's like with anything, you know, you take what you can get from something, you take bits and pieces, and then, you know, everything else just kind of.
All right, man. So what was your geeky thing of the week?
The geekiest thing that I did this week was updating my iPhone to 8.1.3, and I read the notes, the update notes. No, I mean, yeah, that probably really is the geekiest thing I did this week.
That's crazy.
But no, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about the Fantastic Four teaser. Have you seen that yet?
I have not. I've not absorbed any media at all this weekend other than Rodney Carrington.
Yeah. For those that don't know, they're remaking the Fantastic Four. It's kind of like a reboot.
Didn't they just do that like not too long ago? Is this like a Spider-Man thing where they came out with some decent movies and then like half a decade later they want to reboot the successful previous franchise?
Well, the two Fantastic Four movies that have come out are okay at best, in my opinion. So I'm kind of interested in this reboot, but the teaser trailer, if they didn't have the tagline or the you know, the Marvel branding on it, or actually say the title is Fantastic Four, I probably, on first viewing, I probably would not have even known what this was a trailer for.
Really?
It was the weirdest trailer.
Is it that obscure or that...
It's vague. It's vague and extremely slow paced. It's only a minute and a half long, I think, but it felt like 10 minutes.
That's not good. That's not a good sign for the movie, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. When the real trailer comes out, we'll see. But, I don't know. This trailer did nothing to
hype you up,
excite me for the movie. Yeah.
Wow. So, well, speaking of excitement you find online, I brought up a topic, and I wanted to share a little something with you, our audience, and kind of just get into the nitty gritty of it. A couple weeks ago, my wife had to take a trip. She was gone for about a week, about 9 days or so. And during that time, I watched some TED Talks. And I don't know if you know what TED Talks are. I'm guessing you do now, since I pointed them out to you at least.
Oh, yeah.
Essentially, highly specialized people in highly technical, or I don't want to say technical, but scientific fields, basically really, really smart people talking about the stuff they love the most.
Yeah. And it's idea people, basically.
Yeah.
And good ideas.
Right. And it's not always a solution thing. Sometimes it's just an awareness thing. Sometimes it's, sometimes it is talking about solutions. Sometimes it's talking about alternate theories. I saw one, from the, I wish I could remember his name. He basically counteracted Stephen Hawking's theory on black holes. And, sometimes it's just a counterpoint to an established belief or established science. And they're really interesting. I don't think I've ever seen one that I did not find something interesting in. Most of them that I've seen.
If nothing else, they make you think a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or they broaden your perspective just a touch. Right. And a lot of times they're talking completely over your head, but you know, sometimes they're just not. And, most of the ones I've watched are about 15 to 20 minutes long.
I think they have a max time length, like 16 minutes or something like that. They have to keep it under a certain amount of time.
That could be. Now I need to do some more research in TED Talks. Regardless, the specific one that I'm talking about today is called The Great Porn Experiment. It's it's by Gary Wilson. Who is a psychologist and a website host, and likes to compare statistics and things like that to the way that we actually live our lives. And one of the things that he did was this, the great porn experiment is what he called it. And essentially what he's saying is, with porn the way that it is, online porn, online mass media porn, the stuff that you can get for free in mass quantities online, it's raising a generation of men who are having problems at a very young age that normally we wouldn't see until much later in life.
I'm speaking like erectile dysfunction.
I'm speaking specifically of erectile dysfunction, ED. Normally, men don't start experiencing ED until earliest the late 40s and into the 50s. That's your typical, you know, your typical trigger point. They're having men that are having ED at 18, 22. And what they're looking at is, when me and you came up, we were looking at Playboys. And Playboys were, that was it. That was, you know.
Yeah, like, on the rare occasions that you could get your hands on one, you'd take a couple quick glances and then stuff it back in the drawer and run away.
And if you ever found something more intense than that, you know, like a Penthouse or, you know, any of those other more advanced magazines, it was a gold mine. Like you had
jackpot.
No idea. Yeah. You didn't know how to handle yourself, you know?
I did.
Well, wow, that's what she said. What they're coming up with now is these guys, like by the age of 10, I think the statistics pretty high up there. It's more than half of kids, more than half of boys before the age of 10 are seeking porn, particularly online, because it is amply available, readily available. And what they're saying is now you have some people that are addicted to the porn. The pleasure responses, the dopamine response and everything else is actually greater than that of cocaine, of heroin. And oftentimes it's harder to quit than those drugs.
Right. Well, the most basic pleasure that we get as human beings is the sexual response.
Right. It's an immediate dopamine response. And that's our, right. That's our happy drug. That's the drug in your brain. It's like, ooh. Let's do this more.
Well, it's our species. It's our DNA saying propagate the species, make babies, fertilize the next generation. Basically, it's a must happen kind of thing.
Right. And what they're noticing now in these studies is that it's not that you're seeing a sexual activity and it's not that you are seeing procreation. It's that you're seeing something new. It's the novelty of it. And I think when I heard that, when I was watching the movie, the TED talk, and I heard that, I started being a little introspective and looking at my porn habits, because I'm a viewer. Well, until recently I was a viewer of porn, you know, that's been kind of socially acceptable amongst men our age. You know, we're our upper 30s. It's not uncommon. It's actually kind of the norm. I spoke to my psychologist about it, and it is, I mean, in her opinion, it was like, why is this? It's not a problem until you can't get it up, essentially, until you don't have the proper sexual response with your mate or your significant other.
Right. As long as you can perform with the real thing,
nobody
cares.
She's
saying it's not a problem.
Right. Right. Exactly. Right. Now, I've had different thoughts about the degradation of women, about it being, you know, a legal form of prostitution, and I have five daughters, so it kind of hits home a little bit.
Sure.
But I decided I would go ahead and stop watching porn. At all. In any kind, pictures, video, reading, nothing at all. So the only... Since that day, since the second Sunday of January or something like that, I have had no sexual input other than my wife. And it's been a couple weeks now, and I would like to report that, as for my experience, after cutting pornography out of my life completely. And it hasn't been necessarily easy because, you know, we go through things, right?
Sure.
My experiences with my wife have become enhanced. The communication with my wife is improving. And the constant urge, the constant thoughts, the constant drive for sex is actually slowing down and becoming way more controllable, to where, at least for me, this is very personal, just my experience, it's getting to the point where I don't have rampant thoughts all the time. Like, I'm not harassing my wife. I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, it's been, you know, 3 days. I got to get some.
Right, right.
I'm not saying this is going to be everybody's response, but for me, I think at least thus far, it's turning very healthy, and it's very calming and relaxing. And I could, you know, be the Zoloft talking as well. But at least for me, and just in the short period of time, the last 2 weeks, it's made a noticeable improvement. So now I'm going to see exactly, you know, if it, to me, it's kind of like smoking a cigarette. I love smoking. Oh my God, I love smoking. But I don't. As much as I want to, I don't, because I know once I start, I can't stop. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to end up treating porn the same way, which when I go to Korea is going to be a little bit of a more difficult thing, but we shall see.
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge.
Yeah. But I'm willing to take up the challenge, and I'm trying to use myself as as my own test subject on this. So, you know, I'm not going to write a paper about it, but I'm going to at least, you know, at least experiment with it and see how it goes. Cause so far it's turned out pretty good. And keep in mind, porn wasn't a problem with me. My wife has no problem with me viewing porn and, or anything else. So it's not a relationship problem. It's never been a marital problem between me, myself and my wife. This is just something personally, after seeing this talk and thinking, you know, a little introspection, I do have an addictive personality, and I do find it hard to let go of things that that give me a dopamine response, you know, smoking,
right,
pornography, you know, things like that. So certain vices.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's where I'm taking this. That's why I brought it up. And I think it's going to be very interesting, at least for me.
Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah. And, you know, good job on making positive changes. And, you know, the results that you are experiencing it seems to be typical, at least from the research that I've done over the last week, ever since we decided this was going to be the topic. It seems to be the typical result of people that decide, you know what, I'm going to stop looking at porn and actually stick to it. That's typical. Sometimes for some people, it takes even up to 6 months to really see tangible results. But the results are basically what you're saying. And then, you know, in the extreme cases, the ones, you know, the ED sufferers, you know, after 6 months or less, you know, they tend to
recover their ability.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And let me be very clear. I don't, nor have I ever had ED.
Right. And the other point that I wanted to make, you kind of touched on it there, was that you were talking about addictive personality and whatnot. You know, this is like anything. Some people can drink and even get, you know, blasted, wasted or whatever, and then not crave alcohol for, you know, until the next party, 2-3 months later or whatever, and then they'll get blasted again or whatever, you know. But some people, they start drinking and then they don't stop, and then they have to drink alcohol next weekend too, and then next weekend, and then on Tuesday, and then Thursday, then the weekend, and then now they need it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and they can't stop.
And now they're sneaking whiskey in their coffee on their way to work.
Right. And then, you know, and what they found is that porn is the same way, where some people can check it out once in a while, you know, whatever, and it's fine. But other people, you know, you get that taste, you know, it's like crack or whatever, you know, you get the taste, and then, well, now you got to just, you can't put it down.
Right.
Yeah, I think like me historically, like I don't think it's ever really been a problem for me. The heaviest use of it has been in, like you said, Korea. Long periods of time where I'm deprived of the real thing.
Right.
I want some sort of stimulation, and that's, you know,
spousal that's something separation.
That kind of fills that void, you know?
Right.
I think it's a safe substitute in that regard. You know, it's much better than going off and
adulterizing.
You know, there's all sorts of things that you can do that's,
right,
you know, a lot worse than that.
Yeah, you can't, as far as I know, you cannot catch herpergonocephalides from video. I haven't seen any jury's hard still out evidence on that, but
no, I think that's, yeah. I mean, when it comes to that sort of thing, that's definitely the safer alternative.
Right.
You know, it's wear a rubber glove.
And now the other reason I wanted to bring this up is, I also wanted to take on a challenge, and I wanted to challenge you with this, and this isn't something we have to report on or anything else, just something personal. One TED talk a week. I know the last thing you want me to do is try to commit you to even more time for anything, right? One TED talk a week. That's about two thirds of your drive to work every morning. Mm-hmm. You know, that's about my ride to work, about 10, 15 minutes. One TED talk a week for the rest of the year.
Okay.
I think, of course, if there is anything in particular, like super interesting, we can always bring it back to the show, but absolutely. I just think on a personal level, just to expand it a little bit and expand ourselves and reach out there and see some things we don't normally see and things like that. One TED talk a week, and we'll just keep track of which ones we listen to on our own on our show notes tracker and in the Google Docs. I think it'll be interesting. Okay. I think it'll be a good way to spread it, you know, spread some knowledge find some knowledge and maybe spread it around on the show and see if the listeners are interested in. So, anyone out there that wants to take up the challenge, just go ahead and email us, podcast@ritualmisery.com, and we will, add you to the list and we'll get it going and we'll see what we can do. I think it'd be great.
Absolutely. Or they can even go to ritualmisery.blogspot.com and they can post a link. That way everybody can see the TED Talks that they thought were interesting.
Yeah, there's just one thing about that, that ritualmisery.blogspot.com, though. I mean, it's...
Reddit is what I was talking about.
Oh, well, that's a lot to that's a lot to type, you know, ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com. That's... I think that's too much, man. There's got to be a way we can shorten that down, isn't there?
Wouldn't it be really cool if it was just ritualmisery.com?
Ritualmisery.com. I don't know. That's
a nice ring to it.
That really does. And I don't know if we can get any shorter than that. I mean,
I don't know. That's what she said. Oh, wait. Damn it. I was hoping to do that during the main topic.
Let's see. I'm going to find out what happens if I go to ritualmisery.com. Go to ritualmisery.com. And look at that. I see a picture of me and you making goofy faces with our logo on the front page and all of our podcasts listed there underneath. So ritualmisery.com, ladies and gentlemen, we've reclaimed the domain. We've got the site up. We've got the threads going. We're building the site as we speak. It should be rapidly filling up with interesting knowledge about or uninteresting knowledge about Kent and I. And it's a great place to go for all of our links. You can go there and find the Amazon affiliate link in there. That's going to help out our show just a little bit. If you're going to buy something from Amazon, again, it doesn't cost you anything extra. Just click on our link, go and you know, do your normal shopping.
Just go to ritualmisery.com, click the Amazon banner, done. Just shop like normal and you give us a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends.
Cents on each dollar.
Yeah. A couple cents. And, while you're there, I mean, you can click around, learn a little bit more about, Kent and I and view some of the past, show notes and download some of the audio, find the videos. It's a great place. So ritualmisery.com and our new email.
And check back often because we're constantly updating it at this point. We're trying to populate it and, Put all the things on there that we want, make it interesting.
Yeah. And if there's anything in particular that we're missing or that you find that you want to throw on there that you think would be really cool, go ahead and register and shoot us a little message and we'll be good to go.
You made it easy. The way you set it up is really easy for people to interact with us.
That was the goal. That was the driving force behind it. Now I'm going to go ahead and put a little thing out there. We didn't talk about this beforehand, but if you have, you and I are both military, Kent.
Yeah.
So if our listeners have specific stories, specific experiences within the military lifestyle, I'm talking about dealing with children with special needs, deploying with the spouse, spending extensive times without their spouse, or, you know, anything like that, something that's specific to the military and is a life experience that you'd like to share with others that may be going through the same thing. And you can say, you can tell them what happened, what worked for you, what didn't work for you, anything like that. Please get a hold of us. I would like to create a sub thread of those specific stories written by fairly intelligent people sharing their experiences and helping others avoid the pitfalls that they fell into. And making this, yes, it's our site and this is what we do, and it's where people can go to find us. But I would love to be able to make it a place where people can go to if they are coming into a situation that they don't understand about the military and that they can come here and get some good advice. So I would like to solicit that out there. If you have semi-unique military experiences, let us know, and we can hook it up and get you added on there and make it, you know, a nice place for people that may be sharing your experience to find some help.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a question or, you know, something you just don't know how to handle it, post that. Also, if you have solutions, if you just have a good story to tell, that you're like, oh man, this one time when I was deployed, this happened and this is how I took care of it. Yeah. We want to hear those stories too.
Yep.
Amos and I are not the all knowing guru of everything military, but between us, we have about 40 years of military experience.
Right.
And, you know, especially being senior NCOs, you know, we've got, well, a lot of the answers we have in our heads already, but the ones that we don't, we've got avenues, easily accessible avenues to us that we can resolve just about anything that you would encounter, I think.
Right.
And if not, we know people that can find the answer. So, yes,
exactly.
That's important to me and it's important to him. You know, we're all family. We're all brothers and sisters in the military. And it's important that we take care of each other.
Now, that being said, if you just have questions about the military or about military lifestyle, about PCSing, you know, moving from one location to another, about how marriage is affected in military life, how military life actually is, he and I can both speak to the Air Force side of things, and we have friends and family in the other branches, so we can help you out there too. And if you want, all you have to do is send us a message, ask us a question on Twitter, at Ritual Misery, and go ahead and ask, and we will promptly respond. And if it's a good enough topic, we will include it in the show and discuss it on there and hopefully help out even more people.
Yeah, definitely. And you can always hit me up at @RM_Del Noche. If there's something particular to me, what, you know, you heard me say something, you're like, oh yeah, I got a question about that.
Yeah. Especially about retirement. Go ahead and ask him.
Absolutely. And right now you're about to go through a PCS. So if you got questions about PCSing at Ethan Kane, right, for Amos.
Yep. We have one more thing on our docket that we want to talk about tonight, and we're running a little long, but let's go ahead and touch on that. It's a 2004 BL-86. I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's such a crazy name. Yeah, so Monday, for anybody that was paying attention, we almost got hit by an asteroid. Well, that's not exactly true. We didn't almost get hit. The smart people over at NASA knew it wasn't going to hit us. But to me, it was a little too close for comfort. Old 2004 BL-86 came within 745,000 miles of us. That's three times the distance to the moon. and this thing is the size of a mountain.
See,
flying through space, the infinite, well, not infinite necessarily, but the vast, vast expanse of space. And this thing was three times the distance to the moon from us. If that would have hit us, we're talking catastrophic tsunamis, basically a nuclear winter and all kinds of like just horrible worst case scenario type shit happening to our planet. And it was merely three times the distance to the moon. And nobody raised any shit about it. And I think that's because people that knew about it have faith in NASA's calculations and vast math skills that, yeah, I don't know. That's pretty crazy.
I tell you what, man, but I don't have faith in anybody's math when it comes to that. I have faith that if we did have a mountain hurling towards us at umpteen billion miles per hour, no one's going to tell us.
Yeah, I think if we're going to get hit, I think, yeah, they're just not going to let us know.
It's going to be a Tuesday afternoon. It's going to suck really bad. That's all.
Yeah. Like, oh, what the fuck was that? Yeah.
Oh, man. I was so going to be on podcast tonight. And this is really going to interrupt the flow of my day as I'm getting crushed by this mountain.
Yep. Oh, yeah. At least I have a topic for tonight. Oh, wait. I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I had a damn topic. Well, yeah, that's scary stuff, man. That's like that'd be the equivalent of you know, playing basketball and hitting the backboard every time for, you know, a couple hours, but never actually going in. Eventually, it's accidentally going to happen again.
Yeah.
So.
But the interesting thing was, like, I knew about this for probably about 2 weeks. That's when I first heard that it was supposed to pass us or whatever. So I was kind of paying attention. And on Monday, when it actually passed, a lot of the telescopes, the high power telescopes and whatnot that are out there, took some good pictures of it. And what NASA did is they put together, it's basically a GIF, but they call it a movie. They put together a movie of the asteroid. I think it was like 12 frames or something like that. So it looks like a movie, but it's really just a series of stills that they took. Well, what they discovered is that asteroid has a moon. They saw it as the asteroid was passing us, a mere three times distance to the moon. They saw that
it has
the asteroid has its own moon. And so I watched the movie, the GIF basically, and you can see this moon. And the first thing that came to mind, me being a Star Wars geek, that's no moon. but yeah, I mean, it looks kind of crazy. I mean, if you look at it in the context of it's got something orbiting around it, you can kind of see that that's what it is. But just looking at it raw, it's hard to say what that thing is.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, the conspiracy theorists have to be all over this. So I went to abovetopsecret.com. It's a well-known conspiracy theory website or whatnot.
Yeah.
And sure as shit, one of the things they put on there was a link to discussing the, you know, the asteroid and whatnot. And the big discussion was about this moon and what they think it really was. And of course, it was all about, you know, a spaceship docking with the asteroid and all this kind of shit. But I thought it was pretty funny because I'd spent probably like 5 minutes, whatever, just kind of scrolling through the blog that they had on there. And somebody made reference to Bruce Willis saying, oh, it's probably Bruce Willis going up there to save us all.
Very so, cool. Yeah,
I thought that was worth talking about tonight because I got a good kick out of that.
That'd be awesome. All right, cool. So we got an email earlier today, and I'm not going to go into detail about it, but it was really good to hear. Got some very good feedback as I stumble over my words for the next 3 or 4 minutes. from Richard Gunther, He's an old acquaintance of mine. We met several years ago at a Buzz Out Loud meetup, and have kept in contact since. And he's actually fairly well known in some circles. Home On and Entertainment 2.0 are the two podcasts that I know of that he hosts. I'm sure he does other stuff as well. He writes articles and he checks on all that kind of stuff. The home automation theme. Wow, that's a brain fart. I might actually have to edit that one. The home automation systems are what he really, really dives into. And, that and Windows, media stuff. And, he sent us an email, and I just want to say thank you to him on the air. And if you're interested in seeing some interesting points of view, some unique points of view on everyday occurrences, hop on over to Twitter at Richard Gunther. And he's got like four accounts or five accounts. And each one of them has kind of a different theme to it. And all of them are funny and full of moments. So go ahead and check him out. Again, we appreciate that. We did not have a guest on tonight. We almost had Jeremy on, and I don't even know what happened there. It just kind of, maybe he was tired or whatever, but it kind of fell out. So Kent, is there anything that you want to pimp before we cut out tonight?
Just as always, go to ratebeer.com. Username Del Noche. Check me out. I try to rate a beer as often as I can. I think I've got some good taste buds that I have something good to say about a beer or something bad to say about a beer. So check it out. Some of my reviews are humorous. Most of them are pretty straightforward. If you like beer, check it out.
Very good. Very good. We can find you on Twitter at @RM_Del Noche. Mm-hmm. If you need to see more of that, you can find that on his bio page on ritualmisery.com. I'm Amos at Ethan Kane on Twitter. I know it was brought up earlier today. I need to pick a name and just go with it. Anthony, Amos, Ethan. It's starting to even confuse myself. So I'm going to start.
Or we can just go the other direction and just make up like 17 more names for you. And I can just rotate what I'm going to call you today.
There, you just make up a new one every show and see how long it takes you before you repeat. we'll have to get into that another time, how I picked up my different names. You can follow the show if you'd like to follow the show on Twitter. It's at Ritual Misery. You can submit ideas on our subreddit. Man, tonight is just not a night for my mouth to work correctly.
That's what she said.
Submit ideas on our subreddit.
I was going to see how many times I can work that in. I've been trying very hard.
RichardMisery.reddit.com. If you want us to discuss something or if you want to bring something to our attention, that'd be the place to do it and get other people to input in on it. You can go to our home on the web, our new home on the web, RichardMisery.com.
Yay!
It's pretty awesome. Finally got that set up. It's really cool.
And it's only going to get better from here.
It is definitely only going to get better. That kind of makes it sound like it's really, really bad right now.
No, it's really awesome right now, especially for a website that's less than a week old. It looks freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks to your hard work and dedication on that.
And the patience of my wife, because...
Yes.
Wow. Spent a lot of time this weekend on that site. You can call and leave us a voicemail if you would like. It's going to be at 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. The music that you hear right now is courtesy of Kevin McLeod on incomptech.com. Thanks for listening. For Kent, for me, for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya. Right. Or the the dead air. I think we had like two segments of like 5 seconds of dead air where we're just kind of like